In this part of Focus 580, we'll be talking about dealing with the costs of long-term care, something that we know right now certainly is very, very expensive, and we have every expectation that the costs in the future of long-term care are going to continue to go up. And it seems that to cover those costs, what people are going to have to do is start thinking about insurance, private insurance to cover that. And so we'll be talking a little bit about how to think about these issues this morning with Phyllis Shelton. She is president of LTC Consultants and is one of the country's leading experts on long-term care insurance. She appears on CNN's Financial News Network. She's written articles for many different publications, including the Wall Street Journal, Business Week. And she has a book out on this subject. So if you're looking for information on the topic, you can go out and look for the book. It's in paperback, and so it's not terribly expensive. The book is titled Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide. It's published by Kensington Books. Should be available in bookstore. And if you have questions, I know that our guest, Phyllis Shelton, will do her best to give you some advice. All you have to do is call us. The number here in Champaign-Urbana is 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And if you match the numbers and the letters, you get WILL. So 333-WILL and toll-free 800-222-WILL. At any point here, you're certainly welcome to call with your questions. Ms. Shelton, hello.
Hello. How are you, David?
I'm fine, thanks. And thanks very much for talking with us.
Yes, I'm delighted to be on your show.
The cost of long-term care now is really staggering. There'll probably be a lot of people listening to us who know perfectly well just how much it does cost. I think one of the figure that you give here in the book is that now the average cost annually, nationally, for nursing home care, it's about $57,000, $157 a day. And I'm sure they're probably, since this is an average, we're talking about there are places that it costs more than that.
And actually, I'm looking at the north suburbs above Chicago, a more specific number, David, and that area is more like $65,000 a year. And that's semi-private. So, very expensive, and home health care is right behind it at $16 an hour. If a person had, say, 10 hours a day, right there you're paying as much, if not more, than nursing home care.
Yeah. And there have been some studies looking at how these costs have gone up, and the projections are for the next, at least when we look at the next couple of decades, we're expecting that it's going to continue to go up. I just can't quite hold in my head this idea that some people think that the costs could triple, and so that by the time, say, if I was, given my age now, by the time I was approaching 80, if I was in a nursing home, we'd be looking at over $300,000 a year.
That's right. A 50-year-old today, if you run this out, and the increase is a little under 6% a year, and that's conservative, that's the number I'm using, and that will get it to like $310,000 a year 30 years from now.
And that's, I guess, also when I look at a figure like that and know that this is based on a kind of a straight-line projection based on the rates of increase that we've seen, part of me says, you know, thinking about how many people we'd be talking about at that time, that were this, I don't know how as a country, as a society, we could meet that. It would bankrupt the country.
It would, and that's exactly why I'm such an adamant proponent of long-term care insurance, David, because I believe that long-term care is the real health care crisis in this country and that this insurance is the private sector solution. If the baby boomers hit Medicaid, we are done for, let me tell you. So we need this insurance to work.
And you think that politically, at least, one would have to think that the idea that there would be increased government assistance available to help try to deal with these costs, you're essentially saying to people, you might as well forget that and you'd better start thinking about now providing this for yourself.
Take personal responsibility. I think we will be amazingly fortunate, David, to provide for those who are truly poor. Because when you look at the numbers, we've dropped from when Social Security was implemented, we had 40 workers for every retiree. Now it's less than four. And we're looking at, by 2040, 2 to 1. And then you also have to look at, we're spending 44 cents out of every federal income tax dollar today on entitlements, mainly Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And the Comptroller General just said this year, if we do nothing, it'll be 75 cents by the year 2030. So you tell me how there's going to be a government program for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I guess at the same time, I also look at those numbers and think, again, sort of thinking about myself, if I'm really thinking that it's possible when I'm 78 that or 80 that I'm going to be in nursing home and it's going to cost $300,000 a year or more, what kind of premium would I be looking at to provide me with that kind of coverage?
Well, in my book, I try to get into that because I know that's a wonderful question, and so many people have that question. The premium for this coverage, I think in the media, people think, oh, it's so expensive. Do you know what? It's cheaper than health insurance at younger ages. Because for somebody who's, say, 50, you're looking at coverage that would pay at least 3 years of benefits for a couple to cost $2,000 a year, and that's for two people. So obviously you can spend more, you know, maybe $3,000 or so if you get an unlimited plan. But when you compare that to the figures that we're just talking about in the future, it's nothing.
Mm. And I suppose that is an important thing to for people at least to keep in mind, that the this insurance will cost you less the younger you are when you buy it.
Yes, and most policies today with major companies, David, these policies are available to ages 18 and up.
Mm.
People just fall over when I say that. But I think we need to hear the statistic that 40% of the people who need long-term care today are 18 to 64, and most of them are not in nursing homes. They're at home with their families, and the lifestyle of that family is never the same after the accident, the stroke, or whatever condition that caused it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point to make, because I think one of the things that I know from over the years having talked with financial planners is that they think that something that people really should have and a lot of people don't, because they don't think about the need for it, is some kind of disability insurance. And as you know, what would happen if you were at age 25, something could happen, catastrophic accident, you might never be able to work again. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of the same thing that we're talking about here, or is it a different way of approaching the same
also
need?
Also, question. It is a different thing. The disability insurance is wonderful because it gives you at least a portion of your income, and you need that to pay groceries, to pay your bills, you know, living expenses. The long-term care insurance, David, gives you another $3,000 or $5,000 a month, depending on the benefit you buy, for the long-term care. So can you see how the disability income doesn't anywhere meet that need?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, I guess another one of these things that I've heard financial planners just say, as far as long-term care insurance goes, people have said, well, probably that's something that you don't need to worry about, start thinking about until you hit 50. But now, from what you're saying, it sounds as if that just should be something that's a part of your financial planning once you start your working life.
Exactly. I believe that so strongly. And thank goodness long-term care insurance is finally getting a foothold in the employee benefits arena. More and more employers are offering it to employees, which is great because obviously they get a discount on the premium when it's a group plan. And the average age of the purchaser on that side of the fence is 43, but we have people in their 20s and 30s buying this coverage.
Mm.
I've got a chart in my book, and it shows that maybe a 30-year-old might have an annual premium of $440 and would pay by age 80 $22,000. However, if you take a 50-year-old, that annual premium for that same plan might be $1,600 or so dollars, and that person would have paid in by age 80 $50,000. So can you see the cost of waiting? It's not just, well, let me put it to you this way. If I'm 30 and I decide to wait 10 years till I'm 40, I'm going to have to buy probably, instead of $150 a day, I probably buy $250 a day of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wait till I'm 50, I'd be up around $350. So can you see how that would cost so much more?
Mm-hmm.
And that's if I'm even insurable. What if I have a health problem between now and then and I can't even get it?
We're talking this morning with Phyllis Shelton, and again, we're talking about dealing with the costs of long-term care. She's written about this in the book, Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide. So if you're interested in information on the subject, you might want to go and take a look at that book. And also here, questions, of course, are welcome. The number is here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. We have a couple of callers here. We have someone on a car phone near Hoopston, so we'll go there. Line four, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I'm enjoying the program. I had a quick question for Phyllis. I have a father who's 90, and he's in a nursing home just outside of Chicago. He's paying $6,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Double wow.
He worked all his life. He had a nice nest egg. Obviously, he's been in there for 2 years, and that's dissipating rather quickly. And that's, again, for a semi-private room. I'm guessing at this point there's really not a whole lot we can do to stem the tide of this cost. I tried to talk to him about long-term care insurance some time ago, and that got nowhere. So I'm guessing we're probably locked in, and the only thing we can do is, as you were mentioning, kind of take care of ourselves.
I do have a comment for that.
Sure.
I have a chapter in my book, and it's called Alternatives, obviously. And sometimes people, just like your father, it's way too late for the insurance. A couple of things I would say to you. There are certain annuity products that you can get for people, and they're underwritten. So the sicker you are, the better you are, believe it or not. And you may be able to preserve some of your money with a product like that. Also, you want to definitely contact an elder law attorney if you haven't already done so. And what you might do on that, I'll be glad to give out my email address, and maybe I could specifically deal with your question a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay, it's phyllis@ltcshelton.com.
Okay.
So,
thank you, Phyllis. Yeah, I'd like to look into that. As I mentioned, long-term care insurance probably would have been the solution some time ago, but unfortunately, we didn't go in that direction.
Well, exactly. And now, if you could take a chunk of money and buy one of these immediate annuities, if it's underwritten, he'll get a bigger benefit on the month versus, say, he would buying a regular annuity. So that might be a thought for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Phyllis.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to another caller here. This would be Aurora and line one. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say I've been very involved in long-term care. I worked in a nursing home for 8 years. I have my mother living with me for 10 years, and she's living with me because she was in New York. My sister, who took care of her in her own home, in my mother's own home, died. So my mother had to come live with me because she was on welfare. But they wanted to put her in the nursing home of their choice.
Exactly.
And it was a horrendous thing. I don't tell the story because nobody would believe what they did to my mother. Nobody would believe it. Mm-hmm. And the nurses in the hospital said to me that were Irish would say to me, you know, if your mother was in Ireland, this would never happen to your mother. So I brought her out here, and she has lived with me now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the other thing I wanted to know was, could I have the title of your book?
Absolutely. Great question. It's called Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide. And I do have a whole chapter on Medicaid. And let me just verify what you're saying, ma'am. To have choices and to get to go where you want to go, or to have home health care. I mean, what if your mother had coverage and she could be getting $150 a day, you know, that you could use to get some rest for yourself.
How did you guess that I need rest?
Well, I can tell by the tone of your voice.
I was up 3 times last night and 3 times the night before.
We kept my grandfather for 10 years, and my mother was a nurse, worked nights, cared for him during the day. So I grew up with that situation. And my heart goes out to women in particular, because women are normally the people who wind up doing the care. And they can't do 24-hour day care. Nobody can. And if this insurance can give a woman 8 or 10 hours a day of rest, then right there is the most wonderful gift on earth.
What I wanted to speak, the issue also wanted to speak to this issue. I recently heard in my grandniece's family, She married into a very, very wealthy family. Very, very wealthy. I mean, I can't tell you how much money they have. But the grandmother recently gave up all her monies and went on welfare.
Yeah, yeah.
So her children wouldn't have to pay for her bills in the nursing home.
So now she gets in the situation of having very little choice, just like your mother was in. And the sad thing about Medicaid is once you get on it, you not only go to the nursing home they tell you to. In most states, you go to the nursing home. Home health care is just almost no option at all because there's not enough dollars, and the program is geared toward nursing home. And I think nursing home should be the last resort, not the first resort.
Yes, that's how I feel about it. Of course, my mother was, when she broke her hip, she was in a nursing home for 7 years, for 7 months.
Uh-huh.
And there she had, because of a broken hip, and I was a foot away from her when it happened. I was a foot away.
Yeah.
But she had four bladder infections, infection under her breast, bronchitis, and lost 20 pounds. And when she got the bronchitis after the 7th month, I said, that's it, I'm taking her out of here, because she never was sick before then. What do you call, is there a term for people that give up all their money and go on welfare? Is there a what is that issue called? Is there
that
a term
issue,
for that?
Yeah, there is a term. It's just called, and I address it in my book in detail, it's just transferring your assets.
Oh, transferring your assets.
And there's certain loopholes, and yes, it can be done, but my comments are, look before you leap, you know. What do you get when you get there? Because you wind up with no choice. And I don't think most Americans would do that if they truly understood the trade-off.
You'd be surprised how many people I've heard of do that. I've heard a lot of people doing that. But this family with all their money.
Yeah. And you know what that does?
What?
Who do you think pays the bill for Medicaid anyway? All of us as taxpayers, right?
Yes.
So we wind up paying more money for people who could actually have afforded to take care of it themselves, and to me that's not fair. I want to keep that Medicaid money for the people who are truly poor, who really need it.
I was going to write to Clinton when he promised us $1,200. I'll try writing to Bush. That's the problem. I don't have enough time to do all this. Thank you much.
You bring up a good point, ma'am. There's some legislation right now that is floundering because it doesn't have enough support. And it would give credit to a family like yours, an annual credit of, say, $3,000 a year to help you with your caregiving expenses. And even greater, it would give a tax incentive so that people could buy this insurance with a first dollar deduction, whether they itemize or not. So, in effect, it would be like getting a discount on the premium so that more Americans would get it at younger ages, like David and I were just talking about. And this would truly save our economy in the big scheme of things, because it might just keep the baby boomers from falling onto public assistance.
I guess I don't want to belabor this point, but again, it's probably worth stressing for people who either might use that as a strategy or would try to draw some comfort from that as a fallback position. That is the idea that, well, if my parents, for example, that's what we're talking about. If they spend all their assets, at least we know that at some point when they run out of money, then they're not going to be out on the street. Medicaid will pick up the costs. However, you should, as you suggest, think about just what kind of coverage they would end up having if at that point they ended up on public assistance.
The pitfalls are, and I can enumerate them quickly, first off, it's primarily nursing home care instead of home health care, which none of us want. Secondly, you don't get to pick where you go. It could be hours away from your family. Third, it's not a private room. In fact, you could be in a very small space with even two or three people, you know, not just one roommate. So the choices are almost non-existent. And most Americans, especially baby boomers, we want more choices than that.
And I guess, again, maybe one point that it's good to make for anybody who doesn't understand it, that Medicare, that is the government program that provides health care to seniors,
yes,
does not provide any coverage for long-term care.
No, it's short-term coverage. If you get anything from Medicare for either nursing home or home care, you're probably looking at a few weeks, and that is not long-term care.
because there's a difference in the way that people talk about this between what they call skilled care and I'm not sure what other kinds of custodial or maintenance or other sorts of things that sort of, and that's not necessarily unskilled, but it's not the kind of sort of acute care that might be involved in taking care of someone who was, say, recovering from a serious illness.
Like the broken hip. And,
right.
And David, you get it very well, I can tell. This skilled care, and that's what it is in the eyes of the government, is short-term recovery care such as physical therapy or speech therapy and to get a person over an accident or a stroke. But the minute that person stops showing progress, they cut it off. So, again, we're looking at a few weeks of care, tops.
Well, we're at the midpoint here already, and let me again introduce our guest, and we have other callers. We're talking with Phyllis Shelton. She is president of LTC Consultants, and her particular area of expertise is long-term care insurance. She's been interviewed on this a lot, has written for various publications, including Wall Street Journal and Business Week. And if you're interested in information on this subject, you can look for a book that she's written, and the title is Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide. It is available in paperback. It's published by Kensington Books. It should be in bookstores. And, of course, here, too, questions are welcome if you want to call 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. We have some other local folks here next. We'll go to line number two. Hello.
Yes. I wonder, you addressed the cost and the benefits for people who are in their 40s, say. What if you could do the same for people who are somewhat more elderly, say, in 67, 69, and then also address the issue as to what the average lifespan is once you do begin to draw on the long-term care and whether or not it's advantageous to then have the inflation guarantee?
Oh, I love this man. You have asked such great questions. Yes on the inflation, okay? I'm so huge on that. Okay, the coverage for someone, let's start with the length of time needed for care. When you read articles and stuff, you tend to read about nursing home care, right? Everybody reads about that. And let me just clarify for our audience that less than 20% of long-term care is in a nursing home, okay? So we got to think about home health care. All right, the next thing I want to say is the proposals that we talk about, the caregivers report that the average caregiving time at home is like 4.5 years, and the nursing home is about 2.4 years. Assisted living, a person may be in that for a year or two. So don't just focus on the nursing home. That would be a point I would say to you. Now, for someone in their 70s, we may be able, in fact, while we're talking here, I can probably just whip up a proposal and give you some idea. Are we talking about right at age 70, sir? Would that
Well,
be?
My wife, I'm 69. My wife is 67.
She's 67?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, 67, my wife, and 69 for myself. We're both in reasonably good health. We don't plan on needing assisted care for a long time, but it's going to eventually come.
Well, ideally, exactly. And you want to get this when you're in reasonably good health. And if you looked at a plan that would say just it would pay probably 80% of the cost, is that about right?
Yep.
Okay. And maybe with a 6-year benefit period, you're looking at a combined premium of, say, almost about $4,000 a year.
Okay. And are there medical examination requirements for people our age, for example?
No, you don't have to have an exam. That's the good part, unless you haven't been to a doctor, you know, in several years.
No, but we have been, of course, but you know, just to make sure we don't have any chronic ailments. So.
Exactly. Well, what happens is they get your medical records, and that's how they make the decision, okay?
Okay.
And the better companies really check you out. Now, let's talk about this inflation question you ask. The best way to buy inflation is something called 5% compound. That's where your benefit increases 5% compound every year for the rest of your life, no matter how many times you use this policy. So that's the best kind. And that quote I just gave you includes that inflation coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is non-negotiable, sir, particularly for people who are 70 and younger. And in the 70s, most states would allow you to buy at least a 5% simple, you know, where your benefit grows 5% of the original amount. But just let me tell you, the costs are growing at almost 6% a year. You have got to have inflation coverage. Otherwise, it would be like buying a policy that only pays hospital room rates at what they cost today. And none of us would buy that kind of policy. Do you agree?
You recommend 5% compounded.
I do. I do. Absolutely. Because you're young. Really, you are. Do you know that there's almost 75,000 people over 100 years old in the country? You could live a long time. And you need this inflation coverage because we're looking at this cost almost tripling, you know, say in 20 years. So you've got to have it.
And
so that premium includes 5% compound.
Yeah, if you take a benefit term of, say, 6-7 years,
yep.
What happens after that? Is it just simply drop or do you have a chance to renew it?
Okay, it's gone. And this is a very, very, very important point. Now, you can get the type of policy. Let's say you and your wife both took 6 years, okay? And let's say that one of you used 2 years of care and died.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a policy so that now your wife or whoever, whichever one's left, would have access to the 4 years you didn't use plus her own 6 years. So now she has 10 years left.
Okay, now you also mentioned $4,000 a year or so for the case you looked at. How would that increase if you took an indefinite term?
Okay, let's just look at that. That's a great question, and I was wondering that myself. Let's make it a lifetime benefit period.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it never runs out.
Right.
Okay, normally it's about a 30% difference in premium, and, yep, I'm looking at it right now. It jumps it to about $5,500.
Okay.
But let's say one of you has Alzheimer's. The average caregiving time is 8 years. It could be anywhere from 3 to 20. And you got to realize that when a claim starts, the premium stops. Your benefit continues to grow because of the inflation coverage, but you're not paying the premium anymore. It's an incredible deal.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, you're welcome
very much. Well, you really, it's interesting, you touched on that question, a question that I had, where if, for example, you have a couple and they have the insurance together and one dies, then the other one retains the benefit.
Yes.
Are there any policies that are structured so that if, say, for example, you have an individual and they really never use it, is that then the premiums that they paid completely gone, or is there any interest that some another individual can get?
There is, David. It costs quite a bit more, as you can imagine.
Hmm.
It's somewhere around 30 to 40% more. There are a few policies that will give you a return of premium at death so that the money goes to your beneficiary if you never use the policy. And two thoughts on that. It's a lot of extra money to pay for that. But it is available, you know, somewhere around 30 to 40%. Would you be better off investing that difference elsewhere? You have to ask yourself that.
Yeah.
Also, I think a lot of us think, you know, we'll never use it, but we need to understand the odds for needing some type of long-term care in our lifetime. It's greater than 50%. For most of us, it will never be nursing home care. But home health care can cost just as much or more than nursing home care. So we're looking at something that the odds are very high to use it.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, it's just a question of do you want to pay that extra premium? It's available if you want it.
Well, I suppose really, ideally, it makes more sense to, if you're interested in providing benefits for somebody else, a surviving spouse or children or whatever, to do that with conventional life insurance and break the two things apart.
That extra 30 or 40% of premium over, say, a 20-year period, you might could buy a terrific life insurance policy. But having said that, also in Chapter 6 of my book that goes over alternatives, there are a couple of different ways you can do this. There are a couple of policies that are really life insurance policies, and they also have a long-term care insurance benefit. Now, you have to be careful and put enough money in them, but if you fund them appropriately, you have a policy that will pay for long-term care, and if you never need it, then there is a life insurance benefit, a death benefit, mm-hmm. that would go to a beneficiary. So, again, you don't want to just go out and buy that if you don't have a life insurance need, but you may be able to combine the two.
All right. We have other callers. Let's go to someone else locally here. This is line three. Hello.
Hi. One of my concerns is whether there's going to be anybody to do the caring.
Oh, great question.
Because even now, the people who do it are paid not a living wage. There's a high turnover.
Mm-hmm.
People don't get trained. And that's one of the problems with nursing homes.
Yeah.
With many nursing homes is getting adequate staffing. And because Medicare pays so low, people are not being paid well enough to mm-hmm. stay in that profession. And we really ought to be asking our government to up the rates, because not only does that affect the people who are getting paid by Medicare, or it's Medicare, right? Do I have the right program?
Medicaid, usually.
Medicaid. But it also affects, sets the wages for everybody else who's not being paid that way. Sets the wages in the nursing, in the care industry. And my mother-in-law is in a facility, a very nice facility. It's run by her denomination in Washington, D.C. Everybody who works there, it seems to me, is an African-American immigrant.
Yes.
I shouldn't say African-American. They're now Americans, presumably, but we're taking advantage of people who don't have a whole lot of other options. And what's going to happen if we no longer have that supply of cheap labor? And is it really fair to not pay them? It's not fair enough to pay them non-living wages. You know, these people have to.
That's
they have
right.
their own children. They have needs that everybody else does. My other question or my other comment is, we should also be thinking in terms of our own investments as being part of the pool that goes into our care, and not just long-term care insurance. And we really should be thinking about taking care of ourselves before we think about passing on our inheritance to family, and because the money is for us. And I'm not exactly thrilled with the idea of spending 20 years in a nursing home, I'll tell you, thinking about Alzheimer's. So I'd like to think, I'd like to have a program on people who are taking their own lives into their hands and finding ways to not end up in nursing homes, aside from taking care of yourself so that you live healthily and die suddenly.
Yeah. Well, I tell people if they don't want to go to a nursing home, they better have this insurance, because it could be the only thing that keeps you out of a nursing home. You have to have money to stay home at a rate of, say, $16 an hour for paid care. I do want to respond to your comment. I just wrote an article a few days ago about women in long-term care, and one of the biggest things I see is this labor deal. We are taking advantage, primarily women. And immigrants and, you know, minorities and all that, and it's falling on these poor women. They're doing physically challenging work. They're heavy labor, lifting, turning, cleaning, heavy, sometimes immobile patients. And, again, I'm going to say if we had more private insurance dollars in the marketplace, that increases the dollars to pay people more, and we're going to have to make that happen, because Medicaid, on average, will pay a nursing home about $30 on the day less than the private pay rate. So if the private pay rate is, say, $130, the Medicaid rate might be even $90 or $100. And they can't operate like that. And that's why they can't pay to hire enough people to start with, and the people they have, they can't pay enough. So my heart goes out to this labor force, and I am really a proponent of putting more private pay dollars into the marketplace, and that's another reason why I'm so big on long-term care insurance. Right now, we are dependent on Medicaid to the tune of almost half of long-term care is paid by Medicaid, and private insurance pays maybe 10%. So if we had those numbers at least evened out, we would be putting a lot more money into this whole situation, and we could pay people more, and we're going to have to get people to do this job.
It's a really tough job that demands a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, and it's a dirty job.
It certainly is. And we have saints, really saints, that do this kind of work, and we need to reward people for doing it, because it's very difficult labor.
Well, you also want to keep the saints in the business and be able to not hire the people who aren't the saints.
Exactly. And right now, we're like, oh, we just need bodies, you know?
Right.
And we shouldn't be in that position. I mean, these people, it's like screening teachers and people who do child care. It's the same thing, same importance, and we need to be looking at them and making sure that we have the right kind of people in those jobs.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, you're thank welcome. You. Let's go to another caller here locally on line number one. Hello.
Yes, hello. I have a question in a different direction. Does it matter, do you think, what company you buy these policies from as far as it goes in reliability of the company, their track record for paying? I mean, looking at this is like you would buying various other kinds of insurance. Or can you just shop for the features you want and the best price from any company you look at? Or are they all underwritten well? And are they rated by any rating systems like AM Best or any of those so you can get help deciding which company would be good?
Great questions. David, did you just tell everybody what questions to ask?
No. The listeners are just smart. That's all there is to it.
Oh, this is a wonderful question. I am so concerned about the companies that write long-term care insurance, and I do try to refrain from giving names and stuff. I don't think I probably should, but let me just give you a few tips, okay? First off, don't even think about shopping for the very cheapest premium, because there are companies right now, and some of them are smaller companies, and they're taking advantage of this, and they're trying to buy business with very cheap rates, and that means large rate increases in the future. My criteria is look for companies that have assets in the billions, not millions. And the way you can find this out, go to the library. There is a book, AM Best, as this lady mentioned, and they'll tell you the assets of the company. But I think billions, I like lots of billions, 20, 30, 40 billion. You can even, you know, get much larger than that. That's important. Don't get the cheapest rate. And also go with companies that really check people out as far as the underwriting. They get the medical records, they call you, some of them even come and see you. But they're being careful because, and also ask if they've had a rate increase like, say, for policies that were issued maybe in the last 10 years. Because if they're having rate increases on policies that were issued recently, that is not a good sign. So be very careful about that. And my book has a chart that shows the rating services, and like I recommend A-minus or better on the AM Best rating service, and then there's equivalent ratings that go with like Standard & Poor's, Fitch, that used to be Duff & Phelps, and also Moody's. Very great question.
That's what I wanted to know. And can you repeat the name of your book again?
Certainly. It's Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide. And if I could, David, can I throw out a couple of other ways to get it?
Sure.
Obviously, I want you all to go to your major bookstores, you know, because that increases demand, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and all that. You could look on Amazon, certainly on the Internet. If you want to call, there's an 800 number. It's 800-844-4893, 800-844-4893. You can go to my website, and I have a lot of additional free information. It's www.ltcshelton.com, like long-term care, Shelton, which is my name, .com. And even the publisher is KensingtonBooks.com. So lots of ways to get it. It's called Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide by Phyllis Shelton.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for the call. And other people are certainly welcome to call. If you have questions, we have about 6 or 7 minutes left. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. You know, a number of years ago, now we had some conversations on the show with a fellow who had a business here locally. It was a consulting business that was set up to help people deal with insurance companies. And one of the things that they did was they tried to help people shop for, at that time, I think we were talking more about supplemental insurance for people to cover the gaps in Medicare. But we also talked a little bit about long-term care. I think at the time, we didn't quite realize just what an issue it was. Anyway, the bottom line was, in some of the conversations I had with him, is that it's not easy to comparison shop, to try to say, you know, if you have 10 different companies, then there are probably more to choose from. How do you figure out which is the best, which will give you what you want and at the most reasonable cost? Any sort of tips on how to comparison shop between companies and policies?
Well, I will say this. I'm a trainer of agents now. So, you know, having trained over 32,000 agents, I want to make a contribution to the industry. And on my website, you can get to an agent finder map. and it only has agents on it. Like if you click on your city, mm-hmm. the agents that come up would be agents who have gone through my class, which is a two-day intense class. And I do publish a policy comparison for agents to buy, and it's the hardest thing I do, as you can imagine. It goes back 10 years, and it shows all the major policies. I would, again, recommend, there are huge companies now that are in the long-term care insurance business, so very large companies. And basically, you're looking at ratings, you know, you're looking at financials, and you're looking, ask the question, has there been a rate increase recently over business that was written, say, in the last 5 or 10 years? That's a huge question. The benefits are going to be similar, but I would encourage people to buy inflation coverage. And Chapter 2 of my book will walk you through that decision-making process. There's 5 decisions that affect how much you pay for your premium. There's how much coverage, how much benefit you want it to pay out on a daily or monthly basis. There's the inflation coverage. There's whether or not you want it to cover home health care, and I recommend 100% home health care benefit. There's something called a waiting period, elimination period. It's a deductible, really. It's how long you're willing to pay before the company will pay, and it might be 20 days, it might be 60 days, 100 days, something like that. So those are the decisions that make up the premium, and Chapter 2 of my book will walk you through in detail those major decisions and help you evaluate some of the more minor benefits that some policies might offer, such as survivor benefits and bed reservation and respite care, and, you know, there's a host of additional things. Mm-hmm. But those are the 5 big ones.
Well, that's good, because that particular, I think that's about a 30 pages of information, that particular chapter,
yeah.
where it talks about, that's the chapter that's the features of a good long-term care insurance policy, and it talks about all these various things that you're going to have to decide. Is this something that I want? Do I need this? And so forth. And it does, it's a fairly long list.
It is, because the policy comparison that I provide to agents is 17 categories, if you can imagine this, per policy. So I have to pick these policies apart, and you can see why it's the hardest thing I do. But something like, let's say, a restoration of benefits feature, okay? Some policies have it, some don't. Well, what that says is if you get better for at least 6 months, you'll get the amount of your benefit period restored. So if you had a 4-year benefit period, you use 6 months of it, you get better for 6 months, then that original 6 months you used would be added back, and you'd have your original 4 years. That sounds so great, but you got to look at it and realize that if people really need care for 6 months, or even, let's say, a year, if they need care for a year, the chances of getting better are very, very slim with long-term care. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's an okay benefit. It wouldn't be a make-it-or-break-it benefit for me.
We have several callers, and I'm afraid really not enough time to take them all. We'll try to get at least one, I guess, and that means we'll go to line number 1, someone here locally. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling to ask about what you think of the guaranteed purchase option inflation coverage, where every year they offer you purchase inflation coverage, and they increase your premium a little, and I don't know how much they increase your premium. It depends on your age. I imagine it goes up a lot. So it,
yes, it does.
To me, the simple kind, if you're looking for the least expensive, would be better.
I am so opposed to the guaranteed purchase option. Thank you for asking that question. I looked at a situation where a 54-year-old might buy a policy with that feature, and what she's talking about is you get a chance to buy additional benefit as you get older, and you start out at a low premium today, and you buy extra coverage, but it's priced on your new age.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at a case of a 54-year-old buying that at $869 annual premium versus buying a 5% compound inflation, which was like $1,760, okay? So it doubled the premium with that.
Mm.
But by the time that woman, let's say it's a woman, is 87 years old or somewhere in there, she would have, that premium would have gone up to, say, over $30,000 a year. She would have paid in over $200,000.
Mm, yeah.
The person who bought the $1,700 policy,
yeah,
would have paid in about $58,000.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Also, what do you
buy
that? What do you think of the trade-off of an unlimited term for only 50% of assisted living or home care? I'd need assisted living because I have no caregiver.
Okay, you can save money. Okay, don't take the home health care. Take something called a facility-only benefit plan. and that will cover you for assisted living in nursing home.
Uh-huh.
But get a policy that pays the same for assisted living as for nursing home, okay? And you will save probably about, a good 40% on your premium than if you bought a plan that had the home health care benefits.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, that's not in any of the plans I've been studying. Facility only.
Keep looking.
Huh?
Keep looking.
Keep looking. Okay.
All right. Thank
you.
Well,
go to
thank
my website
you.
And look at the agent finder map.
We're going to have to stop because we've come to the end of the time. Once again, if you're interested in the subject, here's the book that we've been talking about. The title is Long-Term Care, Your Financial Planning Guide by Phyllis Shelton. And it's published by Kensington Books. It's in paper, not very expensive, so you should be able to find it.
$15, big purchase.
Very good. Ms. Shelton, I want to say to you, thanks very much for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, David. You're a wonderful host.